Hey there, friends. Welcome back to the two shortest books in the Bible. Today, we open up 2 John for a little peek into life in the early church and some insight on the relationship between love and truth. As we open the letter, I want you to transport back across the 100 or so generations between us and unroll the scroll alongside the original recipients. Remember who you are, believers in Jesus. And remember who John is, the old apostle, and one of the last living eyewitnesses who actually followed Jesus in person. John's been through some things. He's seen some things. Most importantly, he's seen Jesus, and he is determined to carry out his calling to guide and direct a new generation of disciples. That said, let's open the letter. Verse 1. The elder, to the lady chosen by God, and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth. So John opens quite simply with a to and from. It's from the elder. John doesn't need much introduction or elaboration. They know him, and they know he loves them. Elder is a great term for John to state his position and authority without any pomp or arrogance. As for who it's to, back in verse 1, to the lady chosen by God and to her children. So it's a family, one that John sincerely loves. Who is this lady? We don't know. Scholars have their guesses. Could be a woman from a church that John pastored, or some family friends. Many read the word lady as referring to a whole church, and her children as all the believers in that church. I like that one, but I kind of like the mystery of it too. It's nice to know it was a real family, be it church family or blood relatives, but the unknown allows us to imagine and apply it where we need it today. Now, as we piece together our story here, we're going to assume two things, that this is a church and that this church is the same location where Gaius lives from 3 John. Remember, frog DNA, filling gaps, but only to fill out the story. All conclusions and applications will come from the text. Speaking of which, notice what John says about this church in verse 1, to those whom I love in the truth. And right away, we have our two great themes, love and truth. He will use each word 5 times, and it's the relationship between those two that really makes this letter intriguing to ponder. How do love and truth connect and affect each other? Why does John specify that he loves them in the truth? Truth is a beautiful word. And its use in biblical Greek is very similar to how we use it today. Truth is that which is real and honest, and accurately represents reality, nothing false or fake. When John speaks of the truth, he surely means both general objective truth and the specific truth that is found in God and in his gospel. And I'm sure John thought of Jesus. I am the truth. John loves this church family in the truth. His love is real and honest, and it is grounded in the truth of God. And John says, all who know the truth also love them. In verse 2, because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. I like that. Because of the truth. Truth inspires us. God's truth motivates us to act. Do you know what conviction feels like? That inner sense that you must do something. For me, conviction generally hits a moment after I come to grips with truth. I'm convinced of a truth, then I'm convicted to act in response. John is convinced of God's truth, the truth of Jesus' love. And so he is convicted to act, to share that love. Everyone who knows God's truth knows that we should love. And John says that truth lives in us forever, always driving us to act on it. Verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It's a tender greeting and a typical one among Christians. Grace, mercy, and peace. But John takes time to clarify. The real stuff comes from God. And they are with us in truth, no counterfeits, and in love. And the letter begins in earnest in verse 4. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. What a beautiful statement. John found them walking in truth. I like to picture the story behind this. John going about his life and ministry somewhere, maybe some Saturday in the park kind of scene, and he runs into some kids from a family he knows from another town, a family he taught and served way back when. Only the kids are all grown up now, with kids of their own. Ever happened to you? I've worked with hundreds of kids over the years, youth group, tutoring, teaching, and I love running into them all grown up. And nothing makes me smile like seeing them walking in truth. What a joy. Or maybe for John, it was a report from the messengers he sent to that town. Either way, John is a happy man because the kids are all grown up and living out their faith. And what a great phrase, walking in the truth. It pictures truth not as an abstract concept to philosophize over, but as a concrete reality, a path to walk along. Walking in truth is also called integrity, being true to who you are and who you represent yourself to be. Real, genuine, not fake. And what a beautiful thing that is. But John goes a step further. Walking in the truth means integrity to who God made you to be and who he is remaking you in Christ, true to yourself and to him. Notice in verse 4, walking in the truth just as the Father commanded us. God commanded. He gave a directive that's true and a direction to walk in. What command is that? Verse 5. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. Of course that's it. God's command has always been the same. Love each other. Remember when the religious man asked Jesus what was the most important commandment? And Jesus gave us two. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, God didn't change it. Your directive is the same. Love. How do we love? Verse 6. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So God's command is to love, and to love is to obey his commands. Hold on a second. Was that a circle? Well, not exactly. His command, singular, is to love, and to love is to obey his commands, plural. God gave us lots of commands. Do not steal, slander, philander, envy, hate, oppress, murder. Do, help, serve, turn the cheek, go the second mile, rescue, set free, give, forgive, be patient, kind, compassionate, hospitable, faithful. All of those commands are the detailed directives of love. To love is to walk in obedience to all of them. But rather than get lost in details or argue subtleties, John simply reminds us that the main thing never changes. Walk in love. It's worth noting that John does not speak of love in terms of emotions and warm feelings. No flowery terms or fancy colors here. The feelings of love are great, but they are not the formative substance of love. John consistently refers to love in relation to our obedience to God's commands. In other words, this love is less a matter of our emotions and more an act of the will. It's a choice, something we decide to do, to obey God by loving others practically. The emotions are, of course, wonderful, but they are the results of this obedience and not the driving force behind it. There's an important connection here between walking in truth and obedience to God's command. Without obedience, how can there be any relationship between walk and truth? Isn't that the heart of obedience? To follow a set path? To abide by a directive. Here is the way. Walk in it. And God's path for us is clarified again and again. The path of love. Why is John so set on repeating the truth of God's command? Read 2 John again, and we'll talk about the deceivers next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.